Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. So for those of you who are viewing us on YouTube, you will notice that we're doing something a little bit different today. You won't notice if you normally listen to us on Spotify and Apple and other audio podcast services, but we are doing an audio-only podcast. And the reason why is because today is Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of the Lenten season, which is the traditional period of fasting and penance for our sins, typically about 40 days. And this period is ancient. It comes from apostolic times. It's modeled after Jesus' 40 days in the desert. And here at Eternal Christendom, we want our apostolate to be about more than just doing things on the internet. We want everything we do to reflect a Catholic sensibility. And what I mean by that is that we want it to truly, in a sense, be liturgical. So the liturgy is the highest form of activity that any of us can be involved in because it's divine worship. And divine worship is something we do for the good of itself. It's not ordered toward anything but itself. So most things in life we do because they're ordered toward attaining something else. We work to get money, to get food, to get, you know, go to the movie, to buy other necessary items, you know. So work is good, but it's not a good in and of itself. Divine worship is, and we encounter divine worship in the liturgy. Well, the church has always had something that's called the liturgical year. And so it's basically how the year itself is ordered according to various feast days, various fast days, various holidays. And the whole arrangement is meant to remind us of the mysteries of the gospel, both the joyous mysteries and the sorrowful ones, and to help us engage in them so that we actually manifest, we actually incarnate the mystery of the gospel, the joy of the gospel, the sorrow of the gospel, the reverie of the gospel, the happiness of the gospel, but also the bearing of the cross part of the gospel, which Jesus said none of us could get to heaven without. And so in many Catholic churches, particularly traditional ones, you'll notice that during Lent, things are pared back. And during the latter part of Lent, closer to Holy Week, you'll see that the statues and the icons are oftentimes covered. And that is because, again, it's a period of mourning and penance for our sins. And so we are expressing with our bodies, with our worship, with our prayers, with our fasting, with our abstinence, that we are showing sorrow for our sins. And that's, of course, what we do on Ash Wednesday when we receive the ash on our forehead. Throughout scripture, you'll hear the phrase something like sackcloth and ashes. And that was a sign of grief for the sins of Israel, for individual sins and whatnot. And so while we should have an attitude of penance and humility for our sins throughout the entire year, Lent is this 40-day period where this penitential attitude is heightened in anticipation of the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, as well as his glorious resurrection. So we're actually going to start doing a few more of these audio-only episodes here and there. We're figuring out with our team how we want to do it. But the reason, part of the reason why, is because we have been very blessed by the Catholic University of America, who has graciously given us permission to read from their Fathers of the Church set for the podcast. Now, normally, when a university or some other publisher pays for an ancient text to be translated, like the Church Fathers, you know, that costs them money. And so they sell the book and they get money for that. And that that book includes audio rights. And so the fact that the Catholic University of America is giving us permission to simply read whatever we want from these this Fathers of the Church set is really incredibly generous of them. And I just want to thank them personally. Because what this means is that you can hear the words of the Fathers, and we can have a brief discussion about it, without you having to shell out a lot of money, because some of these books can be quite expensive. So Catholic University of America, thank you so very much for your generosity to both Eternal Christendom and anyone and everyone who may be blessed by this. So today we're going to be reading, to begin this Lenten season, we're actually going to read Sermon 205 by St. Augustine. And this is actually a sermon that St. Augustine delivered that was at the beginning of his Lenten season, back in the, I don't actually have a date on this one, but it would have been in the 300s or the 400s. So this is how St. Augustine, this is what he would have said to his parishioners and those under his charge at the beginning of Lent, you know, 1600 years or so ago. So, but before we do, we're going to do our do a quick prayer, and then we'll get into the sermon. I will offer a few quick thoughts, and then we will conclude. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. O Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our minds, that you would illumine our intellects and strengthen our wills to know the good and to do the good and to sacrifice for the good. And we know that the good is not just an abstract principle, but it is you yourself, O Lord. You who came into time, assumed our broken human nature, and redeemed it and healed it, and through your death and resurrection has ensured that your divine life can be forever given to us between now and the end of time, so that we may be saved and live forever with you and all the rest of the saints. We ask that in the midst of this very chaotic world, where we hear about new evils every day from every corner of the world, that everybody listening to this may think how they may bear their cross as well as they possibly can during this holy season of Lent, that they and all of us would join you, would join our suffering, join our penance to you and your suffering and your sacrifice for us for the sake of the world. We ask that you inspire us with new depths of generosity during this season of Lent in 2025. And we ask that you always remain with us and keep us docile to the inspirations and graces that you send us from whatever direction. And we do so with the help of the prayers of our most blessed Mother, in the timeless words of the angel Gabriel, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Ignatius of Antioch, my patron saint, please pray for us. Patron saints of everybody listening, please pray for us. And guardian angels of myself and everybody listening, please pray for us and guide us through these turbulent times. Help us know and to do our duty in these times. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit." All right, with that, we will get into Sermon 205 of St. Augustine, with which he opened his own Lenten season nearly 2,000 years ago, about 1,600 years ago. So the words from here forward until I tell you that it is done will be St. Augustine's. "Today we enter upon the observance of Lent, the season now presented to us in the passage of the liturgical year. An appropriately solemn sermon is your due, so that the word of God brought to you through my ministry may sustain you in spirit while you fast in body, and so that the inner man, thus refreshed by suitable food, may be able to accomplish and to persevere courageously in the disciplining of the outer man. For to my spirit of devotion, it seems fitting that we, who are about to honor the passion of our crucified Lord in the very near future, should fashion for ourselves a cross of the bodily pleasures in need of restraint. As the Apostle says, 'And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires.'" That's quoting Galatians 5:24. "In fact, the Christian ought to be suspended constantly on this cross through his entire life, past as it is in the midst of temptation. For there is no time in this life when we can tear out the nails of which the psalmist speaks in the words, "Pierce thou my flesh with thy fear." That was Psalm 118, verse 120. Bodily desires constitute the flesh, and the precepts of justice, the nails with which the fear of the Lord pierces our flesh and crucifies us as victims acceptable to the Lord. Whence the same apostle says, "I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, pleasing to God." That was Romans 12:1. Hence, there is a cross in regard to which the servant of God, far from being confounded, rejoices, saying, "But as for me, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world." That's Galatians 6:14. That is a cross, I say, not of 40 days duration, the duration of Lent, but of one's whole life, which is symbolized by the mystical number of 40 days, whether because man about to lead this life is formed in the womb for 40 days, as some say, or because the four Gospels agree with the tenfold law, and four tens equal that number, showing us that both the Old and New Testaments are indispensable for us in this life, or it may be for some other and more likely reason, which a keener and superior intellect can fathom. Hence, Moses and Elias and our Lord himself fasted for 40 days, so that it might be suggested to us that in Moses and in Elias and in Christ himself, that is, in the law and the prophets and the gospel, this penance was performed just as it is by us. And so that, instead of being won over to and clinging to this world, we might rather put to death the old man, living not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but let us put on the Lord Jesus, and as for the flesh, take no thought for its lusts. That was quoting Romans 13, verses 13 through 14. Live always in this fashion, O Christian, if you do not wish to sink into the mire of this earth. Do not come down from the cross. Moreover, if this ought to be done throughout one's entire life, with how much greater reason should it be done during these 40 days, in which this life is not only past, but is also symbolized? Therefore, on other days, let not your hearts be weighed down with self-indulgence and drunkenness, but on these days also fast. On other days, do not commit adultery, fornication, or any unlawful seduction, but on these days also refrain from that conjugal pleasure which is lawful. What you deprive yourself of by fasting, add to your almsgiving. The time which was formerly taken up with conjugal duties, he's talking about husband and wives, spend in conversation with God. The body which was engaged in carnal love, prostrate in earnest prayer. The hands which were entwined in embraces, extend in supplication. You who fast even on other days, increase your good works on these days. You who crucify your body by perpetual continency on other days, throughout these days, cleave to your God by more frequent and more fervent prayer. Let all be of one mind, all faultlessly faithful while on this journey, breathing with desire and burning with love for their one country, heaven. Let no one envy in another or belittle the gift of God which he himself lacks. Rather, where spiritual blessings are concerned, consider as your own what you love in your brother, and let him in turn consider as his own what he loves in you. Let no one, under pretense of abstinence, aim at merely changing rather than eliminating pleasures, so that he seeks costly food because he is abstaining from meat, and rare liqueurs because he is not drinking wine, lest in the process, as it were, of taming the flesh, he give greater rein to the demands of pleasure. Indeed, for the clean all food is clean, but for no one is luxury clean. Above all else, my brethren, fast from strife and discord. Keep in mind the words used by the prophet in his vehement denunciation of certain persons. In the days of your fast, your own wills are found, because you torment all who are under your power, and you strike with your fists. Your voice is heard in outcry. Continuing in the same strain, he adds, not such a fast have I chosen, saith the Lord. That's quoting Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 5. If you desire to cry aloud, then have recourse to that appeal of which the scripture says, I cried to the Lord with my voice. That's quoting Psalm 141, 2. That voice is certainly not one of strife, but of charity, not of the flesh, but of the heart. Neither is it that cry of which Isaiah says, I wait for him to make a judgment, but he has worked iniquity, not justice, but a cry. That's from Isaiah 5, 7. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's Luke 6, 37-39. These are the two wings of prayer on which one flies to God. If any fault is committed against him, he forgives the offender, and he gives alms to the needy. So that is the end of St. Augustine's Sermon 205. So you can see that Lent is really not about making sacrifices that we are not, in a general sense, making throughout the rest of our lives. It's about making those sacrifices more intense. So as Catholics, we need to be engaged in fasting and abstinence throughout the entire year. The Church canonically requires that we engage in penance on Fridays. And just to clarify, fasting, the Church has certain canonical definitions of these things, but essentially fasting is eating less food, and abstinence in particular means eating, not eating meat, excuse me. And so Lent is not about, life should not be, as a Catholic, it should not be about never sacrificing outside of Lent and only sacrificing during Lent. No, as St. Augustine says, Lent is about intensifying our sacrifices. But it's not only about intensifying our sacrifices in the sense of things we give up. It's also about intensifying the good works that we do. So St. Augustine pointed to putting away strife. So if there is discord among brethren, reconcile with your brother. Reconcile with your spouse if there's an issue. Reconcile with a family member. Reconcile with a friend. I've been blessed to have experienced numerous reconciliations with people of many of those descriptions. And a reconciliation doesn't mean that if there's a damaged relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything goes exactly to the way it was before. But it does mean you can enjoy a certain degree of peace that you can't otherwise enjoy if you weren't reconciled. So St. Augustine says that this is one of the things we should really focus on during Lent. He also talks about giving more alms, which, you know, traditionally was giving money and sustenance to the poor. But in our day, I think that it can include all the spiritual and temporal works of mercy, which I encourage everybody to look those up and see what they are. They include things like, you know, visiting the grieving and counseling others and helping people avoid sin and, of course, giving money to the poor and whatnot. And so look up the spiritual and temporal works of mercy. Those are things that all of us should be doing throughout the year, but especially during Lent. There was a pope, I'm forgetting who it was, but he had said that Lent is essentially what proves that we are Christians if we engage in a sacrificial Lent. I think this is something that many modern Christians have forgotten, including many Catholics, unfortunately. Self-denial is in many ways at the heart of the gospel, and we see this with our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, Lord, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And so that's what Lent is about. And then of the 40 days that it's based on with our Lord, he went out into the desert and he didn't eat. I mean, imagine not eating for 40 days. I think many Americans probably can't imagine eating for a day, let alone 40. But we know from our Lord as well that man does not live on bread alone, but on the very word of God. And so fasting is also about, I think one of the practical benefits of it is it shows to us the ways and the things that we turn to other than God to make ourselves feel better. This has been something I've experienced in my own life. I've had mentors, friends, and family who've also engaged in serious fasting, and all of us have a similar experience of we realize whether it's, you know, going to our phone or doing something on social media or having to turn on the TV or whatever it may be. Everybody has different things they struggle with, or they go to food or alcohol or just whatever it may be. There's always something that all of us find out we are quicker to turn to than God. And so fasting is also about helping create this spiritual space of silence where we can hear God and we can focus on God and we can prioritize God so that we can habituate ourselves so that our first response is to not turn to the dopamine rush from our phone or social media or food or alcohol or whatever it may be, but to God himself. And so that's what I would really pray for all of us during this Lent. You know, last week there was a very chaotic meeting between President Zelensky of Ukraine and President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. Eternal Christendom is not a political commentary apostolate, but I bring it up because obviously the chaos that took place in the Oval Office is sort of reminiscent and reflects the chaos that's going on in the world, particularly in the numerous war zones such as Ukraine. I actually visited Ukraine in the summer of 2023. I spoke at a pro-life, pro-family conference in Kyiv. I saw some of the destruction firsthand, blown up buildings, blown up roads. I met with many soldiers who had been maimed. It's a very, very sad situation. And so I only bring that up because we are in a time right now where both the condition of the church and the condition of the world cry out for sacrificial love from Christians. And there are so many ways we can do that, internally, externally, all the things that St. Augustine went through about good works, reconciliation, alms. That's part of the external works of Lent. But there's also the internal of fasting, of abstinence, of realizing that man and that we do not live by bread alone, by the word of God. And we know through the church's doctrine of redemptive suffering that by our voluntarily choosing to suffer through penance, whether fasting, abstinence, and all the other things we just mentioned, that we can actually contribute to the salvation of the world. Not as if these things apart from Christ do anything. They don't. But it's one of the most mysterious things about the gospel. There are so many things about it. It's not as if God was constrained to do all of this in the way that he did. He wasn't. It's that he chose to do it this way. So God chose to involve his children, to involve his beloved ones, Christians, those in whom his spirit dwells. He chose us through our own taking up of his cross to be involved in the salvation of the world. And what an immense privilege, and what a lesson all of us need to learn, particularly in our culture these days that is so focused on ego and self-satisfaction and self-glorification and self-actualization and self-self-self and selfishness, and you need this thing, you need that thing. So I really hope these are just some things. I'm not intending any of this for you any more than I mean it for myself. I'm really thinking about these things myself during this holy season of just simplifying life, of keeping distractions to a minimum, so that the inner man, as St. Augustine, by denying the outer man, my body, by saying no to the passions of the flesh, I am in a real sense, we are in a real sense, liberating the inner man to more clearly perceive God, to perceive his voice, and to do his will, which is taking up the cross, that is the Christian life. So with that, thank you for tuning in for this admittedly pared back episode, our first audio only. But we wanted what we're doing on the internet to reflect the liturgical year, to reflect the liturgical reality of Catholic life. And this is a period of humility, of sackcloth and ashes. And there's a lot to sacrifice for, not only for ourselves, but for what's happening in the world within the church. So let's try and be as generous as possible and trust our Lord to yield a great harvest from our generosity. With that, we'll close with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.